Good morning, and welcome to the Merchants Bancshares fourth quarter 2015 earnings conference call. All participants will be in listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on your telephone keypad. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. Please note, this event is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Eric Siegel, Interim Principal Financial Officer, for the forward-looking statement. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning. In this call, we will make forward-looking statements regarding future events, including our expectations for 2016. We caution you to consider the important risk factors that could cause actual results to differ materially from those in the forward-looking statements made on this call. Additional risk factors include those in our press release from January 21st, 2016, and in our annual report on Form 10-K for the year ended December 31st, 2014, and more recent 10-Q filings. We caution you against unduly relying on any forward-looking statements and disclaim any intent to update publicly any forward-looking statements, whether in response to new information and future events otherwise. I'd like to turn the call over to Jeffrey Hesseling, CEO of Merchants Bankers.
Thank you, Eric, and good morning, everyone. Happy New Year, and thanks for taking the time to join us on the call this morning. With me today are Marie Thresher, our Chief Operating Officer, and Eric Siegel, our Interim Principal Accounting Officer and Finance Officer. I'll open with a few remarks. 2015 was a fine year for us. It was a successful year in many ways. By way of quick review, 2014 was a year of investment. We converted our core system and made numerous other investments in the company and the team. And these investments were intended to build a platform and position the company for growth. So coming off the 2014 investments, we really had three main initiatives for 2015. The first was to grow our Vermont loan business, specifically our commercial loans. The second objective was to recognize the expected benefits of our new core system. Those benefits were enhanced customer service, as well as some operational efficiencies. And the last main initiative for 15 was we wanted to expand our marketplace by way of a bank acquisition. And entering the year, it was our expectation that if we had success with these initiatives, that 2015 would be a transformative year for us. Our performance would build throughout the year, we felt and believed, and it was our objective to end 2015 really well positioned for the future. Look, we're delighted to report that we delivered on the three main initiatives and the expected results were recognized. We grew the Vermont loans. We grew the commercial loans 15%, and you can see that in growth in our net interest income. We made great strides with our core system. Service levels are high. There were a number of initiatives that enabled us to have just very well controlled operating costs throughout the year. And again, the performance is as we thought. The company's earnings in the second half of the year were significantly higher than the first half of the year. And we're very pleased with how the Vermont business performed at the end of the year and the positioning going forward. And on top of that, we closed the Nuvo transaction on December 4th. You may recall, we do expect this acquisition to be modestly accretive to our earnings, so there'll be some benefit there, but the real value in this deal is the opportunity it provides us with the expansion to Western Massachusetts. This transaction provides us the opportunity to grow our core businesses, our core competencies in new markets, and there's a real value opportunity there for the company. So, you know, we look back, we sum it all up. The work we performed in 2015 made our company better, and we are well positioned for 16, and we're confident that the benefits will carry forward. I'm going to conclude my prepared opening remarks there. I'll turn you over to Eric Siegel, who will talk a little bit about, he'll give you a financial overview of the quarter and the year. And in turn, Marie Thresher will talk a little bit about the Nuvo acquisition, some of our expectations and plans there. And finally, I'll provide a wrap-up, and including that will be an outlook for 2016.
Thank you, Jeff. Good morning. For the quarter, we have $2.31 million of net income, or 36 cents, per basic and diluted share. There's a bit of noise in one-time events and merger activity in these results, and adjusting out the larger items of merger expenses and retirement costs. That brings us to a core net income of $3.9461 per basic and diluted share for the quarter, which is a result in line with our expectations. The retirement incentive accruals, which are incentive accruals, were not paid last year. Incentives were not paid last year, and therefore the accrual was not made. Also add about $900,000 to our non-interest expense line. For the full year, we ended with $12.62 million, or $1.98 per basic and diluted share. I'm going to talk about profitability ratios in a second, but just to note that with the Nuvo transaction closing December 4th, we have less than a month of the Nuvo net income in our P&L and 100% of the balance sheet. So it does impact our profitability ratios to some extent. ROA was 49 basis points and 71 basis points for the 3 months and year ended December 31st, 2015, respectively. And this compares to 59 basis points and 73 basis points for the same periods. ROE was 6.73% and 9.69% for the 3 months and year ended December 31st, 2015, respectively, and compared to 7.95 and 9.84% in 2014. I think it's worth mentioning, although we can't do the calculations for you, that calculating the full-year profitability ratios using the Q4 core net income instead of the book net income of 2.31 might produce, depending on your calculations, competitive profitability ratios in line with our historical trends. And again, those one-time events and noise clutter up the quarter quite a bit. On the balance sheet, we continue to carry a large cash position, which we plan to use throughout the first quarter to fund loan growth and replace the higher-cost CDs at Nuvo, and also to augment the investment portfolio. The Nuvo acquisition added $150 million of loans and $132 million deposits to the balance sheet. We also acquired $2.7 million book value of non-performing assets in the transaction. We believe that they carry appropriate credit marks, and I know Jeff will talk about more about those later in terms of how we are planning to deal with those. In terms of tangible equity, we're obviously impacted by the goodwill and core deposit intangibles, which are new to our balance sheet, and which arose out of the acquisition. We don't really see anything on the horizon that's going to change our opinion that we've talked about before, but 3.5-year earn back there from the Nuvo transaction. And with that, I look forward to your questions later, and I'll turn it over to Marie Thresher to talk about operations and the rest of the bank.
Thanks, Eric. Good morning, everyone. The report on Nuvo that I have is positive and straightforward. As a quick refresher, as Beth mentioned, we closed on December 4th. A key part of our strategy when we were targeting a bank was to have entry into a new market and geography, also to have a strong asset generation platform, and also to find skilled management that wanted to help grow the bank. The Nuvo deal hits on each one of these targets. We're now in Massachusetts, increasing our presence in New England market. We have a strong business commercial focus, which is very attractive to us. That's in our wheelhouse. We also have a knowledgeable management team in the community that wants to help us grow the business. So with these hits, since we have everything on target, we can now focus on maximizing our deal. So going into 2016, we've got four key objectives. We will grow and invest in the business. We will also optimize our funding benefit. We have a strong core deposit base, which offers a low cost of funding to grow and meet the new loan demands. We're also going to convert our core processing system in the first half of the year. And then lastly, we will recognize the cost savings that we set out at the start of the deal. The cost savings are going to be approached in a thoughtful and conservative manner that's consistent with our bank culture. We're going to balance growing this bank and also trying to achieve the right operational efficiencies. So we're well prepared for this, and as Jeff mentioned, we've laid a solid foundation to complete this work over the year. We've been working on this for a year and a half in the background. So one of the key things about successfully converting our core system is that it makes us easy, it's easy to scale as we acquire new business or we have an increase in our customer volume. So even with the addition of Nuvo, we'll have plenty of capacity to grow and be ready for future. This allows us to really focus on managing customer expectations and continue to look at our strong credit process and continue to be the solid bank that we are. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Jeff for the 2016 outlook.
Thank you, Marie. And before I jump into that outlook, just a little color on the non-performing loans. So we had one loan in Vermont that migrated to non-accrual in the fourth quarter. And as Eric mentioned, we acquired some non-accrual loans in the Nuvo transaction. There's no major change in the asset quality or problems. We have plans in place for all of these non-performing credits, and we expect to make great progress on that number throughout the year and move it back down to more historical numbers for us. So moving to 2016, in terms of the outlook, we anticipate growing the loan book 5 to 6%. That will be, again, focused in the commercial sector for us. The investments will hold pretty stable to where they begin the year. Margin we envision in the 290 to 295 range. Asset yields have been the biggest challenge for us regarding the margin, and they were the biggest challenge in 2015. We expect that pressure to continue in 2016. We expect there to continue to be intense competition for assets and pressure on the asset yield front. Offsetting this a little bit is we're going to utilize our cash balances. We'll grow our loan portfolio and use some of the cash to fund our loan growth, and we also have an opportunity to replace some of the CDs, the higher price CDs that came about as a Nuvo transaction with cash. So the opportunity to use our cash will be accretive to our margin, we think, in 2016. That's how we expect it to land in that 290 to 295 range. I will say that the margin outlook is based on stable interest rates, and when I say stable, rates that were towards the end of 2015. So while we did not project or envision any benefit to the margin from a more favorable rate environment, conversely, we did not project a more challenging interest rate environment. And as I suspect you all know, we've seen the Fed moving its short end up and the long end coming down a little bit, and a flattening yield curve will absolutely present challenges and pressure our margin. In terms of operating expenses, the best way to look at that is we expect a 2% growth on the combined expenses from our Vermont operation, Nuvo operation. As you know, Marie mentioned, there are some operational cost saves factored in to the Nuvo deal, but this is about growth. And that money will get spent in revenue-producing positions.
Over time, we expect those revenue-producing positions to be accretive to our profitability and our efficiency ratio. But that spending will contribute to 2% growth in the operating expenses. And last, on the tax rate, the tax rate will bump up a little bit.
It really is a reflection of higher overall income levels. So that's going to conclude our prepared remarks on 15 and how we see 2016 laying out. We'd be delighted to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Hesplank. We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star, then 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. To withdraw your question, please press star, then 2. And our first question will come from Alex Twerdahl of Sandler O'Neill. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, Alex.
Good morning.
A couple questions here. One, talking about the Nuvo transaction a little bit, and now that you're in Western Massachusetts in Springfield, do you plan to allocate additional resources to that market to help support the growth, or is it really the guys that you acquired there are going to continue doing what they're doing, but you know, underneath your umbrella?
No, we're going to grow it, Alex. We're going to make some investments in there, and you'll see that in the as I mentioned, the operating expenses. It's all in our core competencies. We expect investments in commercial banking, mortgage banking, trust, government banking. As I mentioned before, when this deal was announced, there's sort of 25%, operational cost saves. But that money will get spent on the revenue side. This transaction is all about growth for us.
And Alex, this is Eric Siegel. We're also anticipating that growth will result in larger average loan size as we bring on increased competencies in the have that book more look more like the historical Merchants Bank book going forward as it grows out.
That's right.
Okay, and then just back to your margin commentary, you talked about replacing some higher cost CDs acquired with the deal, and it looks like from the balance sheet that you brought on somewhere in the $50 to $60 million range of CDs. Can you give us a sense for where those prices are? The pricing on those CDs are today versus your historical CD rates, and then also just kind of how quickly those will roll off?
Yeah, sure, Alex. It's going to be a nice trade for us, Alex. Those, you're dead on. It's $50 or $60 million. I think the average price, it's just under 120 basis points. So we'll move our cash into that. And it rolls off pretty quickly, Alex. The lion's share of that will come in the first half of the year. So, again, that's why we allowed that cash to build in the fourth quarter. You saw that margin compression there. We're going to get some of that back as we use this cash to replace those expensive CDs.
Okay. And then just to clarify, Eric, in your prepared remarks, you were talking about $900,000 of incentive accruals. Was that something that happened in the fourth quarter of 2015 that didn't happen in the fourth quarter of 2014? Or can you just go through that again? Maybe I missed it.
Let me break that out a little bit for you.
Yeah.
The retirement cost that we referenced in the press release and the incentive accruals total to about $900,000. So that's $400,000 for the incentives and $500,000 for the retirement, $540,000 for the retirement cost.
Okay.
That neither of those happened in 14.
Okay.
And a way to look at that incentive accrual, Alex, is it was all in one quarter, and it could be thought of as spread evenly across four quarters as well.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that.
As you're modeling out your expense run rate there. Yep.
Okay. All right. That's it for me for right now. Thanks.
Hey, Alex. Thank you.
The next question will come from David Bishop of FIG Partners. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, David.
Hey, quick question, just following up. In terms of the new market, Massachusetts, Vermont, are you noticing anything different in terms of on the pricing front, on the loan side, or deposits as well? Just curious how pricing shapes up the two markets versus each other.
Very similar on both fronts. We don't see a measurable difference on deposit pricing or the loan pricing in the two markets.
Got
Again,
it.
You know, if you looked at it, Inuvo has a higher asset yield than Merchants Bank, and that really speaks to Eric's comment. It speaks to mix of loans. As when we're in Western Massachusetts, we'll start to make some much bigger loans, which will have more competitive pricing, and it'll bring the average loan yields closer to what we see in Vermont. So no difference in pricing in the markets from what we see so far.
Got it. And then in terms of legacy loan growth, just sort of backing out the acquired loans, looks like organic loan growth cleared a little bit. Just curious what drove the slowdown, and maybe talk about the loan pipeline heading into the first half of 2016.
Yeah, that's a great question, right? We grew just under 7% in 2015. 6.7%, I think, was the loan growth. Again, driven by the commercial 15% growth in our commercial business in Vermont. And that was all, it happened to be majority front-end loaded. It was slower in the second half of the year. That's not a reflection of any problem, David. We got a nice pipeline entering 2016. In fact, some material deals that we expected to close in the end of 15 migrated into 16. So it's going to be 5 for 6%. We envision 5 for 6% loan growth for the year, and it will be driven by that commercial sector.
Got it. And then just one final question. View on tangible capital, I mean, you guys have always sort of operated in this range here. You guys pretty comfortable with the capital levels relative to your growth prospects here?
Yeah, you know, that tangible capital, that's the restricting capital measure for us, obviously. And, we'd like to see it above 7%. We knew this transaction was going to have the Inuvo deal was going to create some dilution there, and that 3% dilution, that tangible capital, and it's a 3.5-year earn back, that hasn't changed. We did have a change in the mark-to-market in our investment portfolio that impacted our tangible capital in the fourth quarter, but except we're comfortable with it. I think that tangible capital reflects the low-risk balance sheet that we run, but, it's our objective to move that back up again.
Great. Thanks for the call, Jeff.
Thank you, David.
And as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one. The next question will come from Travis Lan of KBW. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Good morning, everyone.
Hey, Travis.
Good morning.
How are you? Most of the questions have been answered, but I just wanted to ask follow up on the expenses. I assume the incentive accruals and the retirement cost ran through the compensation line in the quarter. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And then just kind of getting a sense, I know you give good guidance on taking legacy merchants and Inuvo and, saying 2% growth of that combined. When we're thinking about the Inuvo portion of that equation, is that cost save adjusted Inuvo or just the baseline kind of $1 million a quarter that they were running at?
Yeah, so the cost saves we announced when the deal was announced was related to Inuvo's expense run, right? So they run roughly $4 million expense, and it was the cost saves are modeled at 25% of that. But again, we'll recognize some of that savings, but that money will be invested in growing the business. It's just it'll be a reallocation of that cost, really, is the way to think about that.
Got it. Okay. And I know, just kind of changing gears, fee initiatives had been kind of a goal heading into 15. What is the outlook there? Is there the opportunity, you think, to kind of put some of the products that you guys offer onto the Inuvo customers and grow fees, or just kind of a broad outlook for fees?
So, Travis, I'm delighted you asked that question because I'm remiss. I forgot to provide an outlook on the fee growth. Yeah, you're spot on in every regard. We see 78% growth in that fee line for 16. That's our outlook.
Right.
And that'll be across the board in the business. We'll get a little more traction in our mortgage business. But yeah. Selling commercial services in Western Massachusetts and right across the board, we expect to have growth in the fee businesses.
Right. And the last one is just on the mortgage business. Do you guys see any impact from TRID in the quarter on the expense side or the pace of volumes?
We're TRID compliant. We can tell you that, and
I'm not going to blame any of our performance on a regulation. It's a competitive business. Volumes are down. And, you know, we're fighting for those commodity products like everyone else. So I don't think we can look to that and use that as an explanation for our business, any impact on our business. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you guys very much.
Thanks, Travis.
Sorry. Our next question will come from Matthew Breese of Piper Jaffray. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, Matt.
Good morning.
Hello. I just wanted to get a little bit more clarification on the margin and its trajectory. So to be clear, as the CDs kind of roll over and cash is deployed, we'll see that margin creep up as the year progresses, correct?
You bet. You bet. That 290 to 295 is what we expect at the average for the year. And, yeah, you'll see it. Our expectation is that margin will grow throughout the year quarterly. We'll, as we invest that cash into loans and replace the CDs. So it'll be incrementally and marginally improved throughout the year.
And is there any impact from accretable yield?
You know what? There's very little factored in for yield accretion from that Nouveau pooled loan book. So I'm going to tell you very little factored in on that front, Matt. So
more or less core margin trajectory upwards throughout the year.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, I know you said the tax rate will bump up a bit. Can you be a little bit more specific as to what it might bump up to in 2016?
Yeah, Matt. We're currently running an effective tax rate around 20. We're looking 25,
27. Okay. And is any of that related to your ability to find tax credit investments, and how is that pipeline?
Spot on. You know, we are. I've only been here a few weeks, but we're sort of on a mission to find tax credit investments. We're going to be working on a strategy to actually find those. But assuming that we have modest success, that's why we're up in the 25-27 range.
Okay.
That market's more competitive, Matt. The tax credit market, there are more buyers, the pricing's tighter.
And will that be an immediate bump to 25% come the first quarter?
No.
I'm sorry, I missed that. Was that a yes?
No, that's a no.
Okay. So it'll be a gradual increase towards those levels.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And then Jeff, I was hoping to, could you give us an update on the CFO search and when you hope to, you know, have a permanent replacement in-house?
Sure. You know, it's hard to predict that. What we can tell you is, so we have Eric Siegel here, as you've heard from him today, and so he's acting as our interim principal accounting officer and finance officer. So we're pleased to have him here and delighted with the team. You know, I really can't predict it, Matt. We'll I tell you, we're going to get some help. We're going to use a recruiting firm, and we're going to hopefully attract a deep candidate pool. And but I just can't envision. I can't predict for you today. We're just at the very beginning of that process, and I can't predict for you how long it might take. I just don't know.
Okay, understood. And then my last question, what's a good average diluted share count to use for the first quarter of 16?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
What's a good average diluted share count to use for the first quarter?
Oh, is it 6.9? Do you have that number, Eric?
I do not have that number.
Matt, can we get back to you with that?
I think, Matt, we'll have to get back to you on that.
No problem. That's all I had. Thank you.
And our next question is a follow-up from David Bishop of Fig Partners. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I just had a quick follow-up, maybe some more color on the legacy Vermont non-accrual loan that went on to non-accrual, if you had some color on that credit.
Sure. It's a piece of investment, commercial real estate, again, pretty modest size given the size of our company. Just just things that happen, and it will, again, resolution plans are in place, and we expect some material progress on our entire non-accrual loan. Look, plans are in place to get that number down.
That Vermont piece is less than $1 million.
Less than a million.
Thank you. The noise that comes in our non-accruals is mostly about the numbers of loans that we've never had before and not about the dollar value. It's small dollars relative to our size, but the bank has never experienced a significant uptick in non-accruals, so we want to report it.
And just to give you a perspective, with the Nuvo acquisition, there are two main credits that represent the large majority of the non-accrual loans. So we'll, and again, plans are in place for those two.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
At this time, we will conclude the question and answer session. I would like to hand the conference back over to Mr. Hessling for his closing remarks.
Well, thank you all again for your time this morning, and thank you for your support. Thank you for your investment in our company, and we wish you all a great start to the year and look forward to connecting with you again in 90 days. Thank you.
To access a replay of this conference, you may dial 1-877-344-7529 or 1-412-317-0088, beginning at approximately 11 a.m. Eastern today. You will be prompted to enter a conference number, which will be 1006-8671. Please record your name and company when joining. The conference has now concluded. Thank you for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect.